this podcast up to date is hungry for Middle Eastern and Mediterranean food. When you want a euro, where in the KC Metro do you eat? Do you know the best place to get kofta? Tell us where to go and what to order. Text us at 816-601-4777. 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm senior producer Zach Wilson. Kansas City manager Brian Platt was recently a finalist for the city manager job in Austin, Texas. However, he withdrew himself from consideration as Kansas City extended his contract through 2027. Meanwhile, some black leaders in Kansas City are circulating a petition to potentially rescind his contract extension amid accusations that he isn't as committed to racial equity as he needs to be. Today, City Manager Platt joins us to discuss these topics, along with his vision for the future of Kansas City.
So last week, you hosted a gathering of city managers from the nation's largest cities here in town. Why was that meeting in Kansas City, and what do you get out of something like that?
It's so important for all of us as colleagues to make sure that we're sharing ideas and best practices and helping each other solve problems. At the end of the day, all of us are here to serve people of our cities and this country, and we're not competing with each other. And a lot of the problems that we face are the same in any city around the country. I know this coming from another city and doing this job in another place in another part of the country, and it was just so powerful for all of us. But most importantly, it was to show them all the greatness of Kansas City, and they love this town. A lot of them hadn't been here ever, and it was a great introduction for them, for probably the greatest city in the country.
Is it just you guys gathered around tables talking, or did you bring in experts from around the country, or both? Or
yeah, it's a closed-door meeting. We don't let any staff or others join us. We can have frank and open and honest conversations about things going on and talking about all the issues that we face. And we all go back with a ton of notes and next steps and ideas and initiatives for our cities.
Oh, that's great. So since the last time we had you on, you were briefly a finalist in Austin, Texas for the same position you hold here in Kansas City. What was your drawing you toward that position down there?
Look, I've told everybody that this is where I want to be. I love Kansas City, and I hope to be here for many, many years to come. It's a very competitive industry that we're in. There are not a lot of people that are successful city managers around the country, and so when a position opens up, people recruit hard. And I think it's also really flattering and for our city that the potentially most dynamic and successful city in the country is looking at a place like Kansas City and saying, we want that. We want that city manager here for us. And so it's great, but I'm so happy to be here for hopefully many, many more years, continuing on the progress that we made here.
What caused you to pull out of that search?
Certainty around the future here in Kansas City. My contract was coming up in a few months, and just wanted to make sure we had everything lined up. And, you know, these jobs don't open up every few weeks. It's hard to find them. And so when they do, you know, you just want to make sure that you've got certainty in the future.
What are your career aspirations long term, Brian? Are you thinking about all of that right now?
Did my mom send you that question to ask? this is what I want to do. It's I don't think about, you know, in 10 years I'm going to be doing something different, or this is a trajectory or a pathway to something else. I love this stuff. I think about it constantly, solving little problems, big problems, making our communities better. And I love Kansas City. It's just such a fun place. The city is both such an incredible place to live and also a place where we've got a lot of things we've got to fix and do and improve on, and that's what I love to do.
You're still getting some pushback from some black leaders in town who continue to say they have issues with you when it comes to racial equity. What's your response to that?
We've done so much to support and uplift all of our many diverse communities in Kansas City. We've got the city's first chief equity officer. We have the most diverse leadership team in the city's history right now. My department directors and assistant city managers. We've done so much within our fire department to renegotiate union contracts and provide a more supportive and inclusive environment. We've reframed and restructured our support systems through our HR department. There's so much we've done. It's a list a mile long, and I think the record stands for itself.
But right now, you have Urban League President Gwen Grant and some other black leaders in town circulating a petition to rescind your contract extension. What about that?
You know, this noise has been here since before I even got here, and I don't think about it. I think about the progress that we've made here and the work we do every day.
If Gwen Grant was sitting here, she would say, Brian, it's not noise.
Well, you know, I've talked to Gwen previously, and the last time I spoke to her, which was months ago, She commented that everything actually seems to be going pretty well, so I'm not sure where this is coming from.
Do you feel like you have work to do to gain more trust in the black community and with some African-American members of the city council?
There's always work to be done, but I think that the vote that I had for my contract extension is a good reflection of this, 11-1. It actually should have been 12-1, but one council member was absent. So there is not a racial divide or an issue that you're seeing. And if there was, I think the council would make it very clear publicly to me and to everybody.
Okay, different topic. A couple of weeks ago, this city roundly rejected that 3/8-cent sales tax extension to move the Royals to a downtown baseball park. Since then, is there anything going on behind the scenes to begin to think ahead and what a future still might look like for downtown baseball in town?
Yeah, look, this city is committed to keeping the Chiefs and Royals here for generations to come, and we've had very productive conversations behind the scenes to make sure that we're doing that. The mayor and council members and others have had great conversations, very positive conversations, to try and figure out what to do next and to learn from the mistakes and to grow from that point and see what we can do to make this work.
Do you anticipate another vote this year, or are we looking at longer term than that, Brian?
Can't say at this point if there's going to be a vote at all. And if there was going to be a vote, when it would be. But I think just the focus right now is to make sure we've got the right plan and that the right people are engaged and that we're hearing all of the challenges that people face and trying to solve them. At the end of the day, this is like any development project. And what has to happen is the developers, in this case the Royals, need to make sure that they're working with the communities, that they're impacting and supporting all of our communities and neighborhoods across Kansas City in the best way possible.
I mean, there was a sense in the wake of the vote that the ball club simply hadn't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. They hadn't finalized agreements. There was still a lot left hanging, and that made a lot of voters uncomfortable. Do you share that concern?
You know, I think what we're going to do is a lot of research and thinking and reflecting on the things that were missed, and we will help them in that. We were largely on the sidelines, on the city side, for a lot of this, and we are going to take a much more active and proactive role in making sure that whatever comes next, we are a big part of it, and that we're listening to all the voices that need to be heard.
Do you see the city taking the lead role in this now, as opposed to Jackson County government?
Absolutely. The mayor here and the council here are absolutely going to take that role.
And push forward.
Yes.
You talked about what the plan might look like. There was a lot of talk about whether the team had selected the right location for a downtown baseball park. Is that the thinking going forward? Are you going to stay with that location?
Well, look, there's pluses and minuses to every location. There are a lot of reasons why the downtown KC Star building is a great location. There are a lot of reasons why other locations could work as well. But I'll say, from the urbanist perspective of, if you're building a stadium and you think about the things that you need around it, hotels, bars and restaurants, transit, that location has it all built already. You've got a streetcar that is a block away, hotels that are within walking distance. All of our parking that we built for T-Mobile in the Power and Light District is already there. So there's a minimal amount of other assets that you need to build and construct to support that stadium. Other locations around even the entire region don't have all those assets in place.
So from your standpoint, you'd like to see it stay right where the proposal has it standing?
If it goes there, there are lots of considerations that need to be taken into account, such as making sure that we minimize the impact to local businesses. This was a big concern that we heard, and there are many businesses in the area that we do not want to displace. We think that there's a potential very, very high benefit for all the businesses there if it's done right, if it's put in the right exact place, if we're not trying to displace a lot of businesses. Making sure that Oak is an open thoroughfare is a big thing for us, for transit reasons, for emergency access, but also not trying to disrupt the neighborhood feel over there.
But you had that taken care of by the time of the vote. Oak was going to remain open, so there was progress made on that issue.
Yeah, then. You know, one of those things that perhaps maybe was a little too late, close to the vote, to have solved. That should have been something that we worked out and resolved months ago.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, conversations are continuing here. The city's going to take a lead role, and there's interest, at least from your standpoint, in terms of keeping the location of the proposed ballpark right where it is.
Yeah, there are lots of, as I mentioned before, there are a lot of benefits to that site from the city perspective, from a cost perspective, from synergies with existing things. If you're looking at other locations, think about Power and Light District and the businesses that we've got there. Why would we want to build a competing entertainment district to draw people away from that? Why not build on and amplify what we already have? And so, look, the decision at the end of the day will, I tell people this a lot in my role, I'm a lead blocker. I'm not the one saying things have to be this way or that way. I'm clearing the path to whatever solution that we all want and whatever decision we all want to make. And the decision will be made by the council members and the mayor, listening to our communities and to the Royals to make sure that we've got it right.
Okay. So in terms of folks out there being concerned the team might go away, you know, big changes might be coming to our sports scene, you're saying today, hey, maybe hold on, hold your horses. There's a future here.
We are working as hard as we can to make sure that never happens.
Okay. Let's turn to some different topics here. The other one that's related to the downtown baseball park is that lid over 670. So the feat of the Royals downtown ballpark tax extension, how does that affect that project, and how's that going to move ahead?
So we've been working on this for years. I've come on and talked about it, and we're so excited about it. It will create a new destination for the region and for the country, really, for people to gather and to sort of amplify and build on the development that we've got there already. That project will probably break ground at some point this year. The first couple of phases of it, starting on the western portion of that stretch. And so the stadium discussion in that location was interesting because we could continue the park to the east a few more blocks.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Are you going to do that?
Well, look, it's taken us such a long time to get to this point of design and approvals and making sure that we are taking into account all the considerations with the highway and traffic and airflow and the environmental issues. And so it's taken us months and years to get to this point. It's probably another few months and few years even to figure out the next section if and when we decide to do it.
When might construction actually begin?
Construction will begin on the first phases this year. Probably at the end of this year.
So this thing is a green light. It's going to happen.
It is 100% moving forward. We are going through our approvals. We're hiring people. We've raised a lot of money. We raised about $100 million already for this project. Right now, the estimate is over $200 million. So we're getting there. We've got enough money if we started today to do at least a couple sections of park. And even if we start with one section, the good example that we like to point to is Clyde Warren Park in Dallas. And the Dallas city manager was here this week. And so we got to chat about it. We got to show him and the new incoming Dallas city manager exactly where we're going to do this and how the economics are so similar. And it was just such a fun moment. Another example of why it's so important for all of us city managers to be talking, because we learned so much from Dallas about what we can do and what we shouldn't do and should think about when we're doing our park here. But even just one section will dramatically improve the environment and the interactions that people have in that location.
And I gather he looked at that site and said, yeah, this might work right
exactly.
there.
Yes. I mean, you can just see it. And I've been to Dallas as well, and a lot of us have been to Dallas to see the success of that current park that they've got there. It's almost the same geometry. It's almost the same economic potential impact with part of the city being cut off from another part of the city because of a highway cutting through it. And a park just creates a gathering point and a center for all that stuff. And it just transforms that area.
It's a really exciting idea.
So exciting. And it's 20 years of an idea in the making. And I'm happy and humbled a little bit to be a part of getting things moving finally this last couple of years.
I imagine the construction of something like this isn't easy.
It is and it isn't. We actually just rebuilt the Baltimore Bridge over that stretch. And so we have a little bit of sort of muscle memory of how this will happen. It's mostly cranes that will be placing beams atop over the highway over there with some structural work underneath. It will be complicated, but not something that we haven't done before.
I imagine 670 will be shut down for some stretches.
There will be some periodic shutdowns, but you know, it won't be months and months of closures.
We'll be right back with more from Steve's conversation with Kansas City Manager Brian Platt in just a minute.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're most proud of during your time in your role as city manager. And again, I'm visiting with Kansas City City Manager Brian Platt. Recycling carts for every Kansas City household. You got it done.
I think the list goes on and on of little things that we've done to improve basic services. At the end of the day, we're here to improve quality of life. And we've done that in so many ways through improving delivery of services, and becoming a more proactive and responsive government. You think about our street resurfacing operation. We just passed 500 lane miles of streets in March of this year for the fiscal year, which ends in a couple of weeks. That is 3.5 times the historic average of what we used to do. Mm. We dramatically improved our snow removal operation. There's a long list of ways we did that, including 24-hour operation, pre-treating our roads, adding 100 new drivers and 50 new vehicles, and just being much more aggressive with everything that we do with snow removal. Trash is a huge thing. When I got here, I remember this is one of the big priorities for everybody. And you mentioned recycling carts. We're also delivering trash carts to every household. We are expanding bulky collection to once a week. We have additional litter crews that we funded in this year's budget. We're doing so much to make sure that our city is cleaner. And it's those little things that go such a long way. And I think, if anything, I'm most proud of that, just the way we respond and serve this city.
City employees, 4,500 of them have gotten pay raises.
Over 20% average raises over the last 3 years. Everyone's gotten a raise here in Kansas City. And that's the most important thing. The best way to deliver high-quality services is to have people that want to be here and like working here and are fully supported in every way that we can.
What's on your to-do list now going forward? What else?
Development is the big focus, I think, for the next few months here. And it's a lot of things. We're very happy that we're probably going to have 12 groundbreakings this year, mostly in the downtown area and in the center of the city to build on that foundation. 15th and Holmes, 18th and Main, 4 Light, West Bottoms, $500 million development in the West Bottoms to just revitalize that entire neighborhood. 18th and Vine, you're seeing these things everywhere. But we need to do more. The best way to ensure the success and growth of your city is to be building more things. More things means more housing, more office space, more retail, more restaurants, more opportunity for people, more jobs. All the things that a city needs, we need to be doing more of. And how do we do that? There are a couple of things here. We need to make sure that the risk that those that want to invest in Kansas City is as low as possible. And that means that there's certainty around the process. That means that there's certainty around the support that the city can provide and that we are all on the same page and aligned on how we can move forward. We're competing against many of the cities that had city managers here last week in Kansas City because developers at a national level are looking for the places with the highest potential of success, the coolest places, which we've checked that box, but also the places that they know that they have the lowest risk. And so we're trying to make sure we're doing those things. We're also looking at different types of development. You think about East Side investment in Kansas City, and we did a study a few weeks ago that showed that we've invested $460 million on the east side of Kansas City over the last 5 years. That includes diverting services to make sure that we're providing all the things that the east side needs, but it also means new investments. 18th and Vine, all of the 16 redevelopment projects that we've got going in that area are really important. But what else can we do? We've got 2,500 vacant lots across the east side of Kansas City. And Councilman Patterson Hasley and many others are pushing forward to make sure that we can find a way to develop those into housing for ownership, to make sure that we remove blight and eliminate all the issues that you have with vacant lots, but also to provide more opportunities for housing across the east side and continue to invest in the east side and add new residents, add new income, add new activity.
You know, you hear anecdotally that housing construction in the city has really slowed. What's going on there?
You know, we just implemented new energy codes, and what that means is that we have higher standards for energy efficiency for our buildings. It's a national and international code that is adopted by cities all over the place. And what often happens in a situation like this is, as the old codes are phasing out, there's a rush to introduce and to apply for your project. Because no matter what the codes are, what they say, you have to think about how to change your plans and your applications. And so rather than try and redo your plans, throw it in there and get it going as quickly as you can. So we saw a massive influx in applications right before the new adoption. And then, of course, as the new codes took effect, we saw a lot less because people had to figure out what these new codes were. And these are not simple codes. They are very complicated. It's not intuitive. There are a lot of layers, a lot of pages, a lot of detail in these things. So it's taking even us on the staff side a long time to figure out exactly what needs to change and what is different about our review process and what needs to change about the applications. And so I'll say that what's great about this city council is that we don't ever they don't ever accept everything as the way it needs to be and written in stone. And we're thinking about options if we can and should make modifications to those codes. Some of the things we're realizing afterwards that they just maybe don't make sense. And so we're thinking about what things can we change, what things can we do to both preserve energy efficiency and make sure that houses are built to the highest quality and standards in Kansas City, but also eliminating those things that maybe aren't having the impact that we thought.
You know, KC Tenants was a major force in the defeat of the extension of the sales tax for the downtown ballpark. They continue to push for more affordable housing. What's happening on that front from your standpoint?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we just need to be building more housing. It's an economics conversation here. And if we've got more supply, then the cost goes down. And so to my points earlier about development, the more building we can do, the slower we will have rents increasing, and the supply. Supply increases will mean that there's just more competition from the landlords to try and get people to rent.
At what point does the city have to step in and actually subsidize development? Because developers keep saying they can't make much money on construction of affordable housing.
Yeah.
That means maybe the city has to step in.
Yeah, and we've got some great tools in place that they're doing this. The city implemented its first ever housing trust fund. We've got $50 million in there that are going towards projects that are approved by a public board that make sure that these dollars are flowing to the right places to ensure that we're creating and preserving affordable housing all over Kansas City. That is absolutely a consideration. But also, you know, cities across the country face this same challenge that there are a lot of reasons why development deals don't pencil, don't make financial sense for developers to move forward with. And so we're always trying to find ways and tools to better support those projects.
You know, the city just passed its 24-25 fiscal year budget, Brian, and the city is spending more money than ever. Tell us a little bit what's in that budget.
$2.3 billion budget, the city's largest budget ever, and it's super impressive. You can view the whole document at kcmo.gov/budget, and it is full of so many great things. What I think is there are a couple things that I'm really proud of in this budget. One is the continuation of those high-quality city services that I mentioned earlier, seeing your record-high street resurfacing, your LED streetlight conversion, additional funding for trash removal and collection and litter cleanups. But we're also seeing a reflection of finding ways to better support our many communities. We have a language access program funded in there for the first time, meaning we're trying to make sure that anyone who doesn't speak English as a first language or has other challenges with language and communication, we are able to connect with them and communicate.
KC Tenants pushed that idea.
Yeah, yeah. But we're also seeing it from a lot of different communities that have language challenges. We've got a REACH program. It's an arrest diversion program, making sure that, you know, thinking about people who are arrested by the police and maybe that wasn't the right move and maybe it was a moment that was too late. What can we do to provide better services and support for people so that they don't get stuck in that cycle?
This is part of the city's new crime reduction strategy,
one of
right?
the many things, yes.
It's modeled after City of Omaha. North.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so this is a way that we're going to get people out of that cycle and make sure they got the support and services that they need to avoid that. We've got more support for homelessness prevention in there. A few years ago, we hired our first homelessness prevention coordinator. We've had tremendous success on that side. And another plug for the city manager group, a lot of comments about, of the many things, they noticed how clean our streets were and how smooth the pavement is in a lot of places, but also not a lot of homelessness. And we talk a lot about it in these groups of homelessness proliferating in cities across the country. You go to San Francisco or Washington, D.C. or San Diego.
Right.
San Diego city manager is here, and it's everywhere, and it's not as prevalent here anymore, thanks to the work that we're doing very aggressively to get people off the streets and into housing. Dallas has a great homelessness model. Houston has a great homelessness model. Housing First, it's something that we're working to adopt here, where we're trying to get people right into housing with wraparound services to provide them the support that they need so that they no longer continue to move from homeless camp to homeless camp.
I got to ask, the city's taking $38 million, Brian, from its general fund in order to balance this budget. The concern about that is that spending like that could ultimately one day deplete the general fund, which has taken years to build up. How big a concern is that for us?
I am so proud of the work that we've done to put this city in its strongest fiscal position ever. We have record high fund balance right now, higher than it's ever been, which is our cash reserves. We've got stable credit ratings. And that's after this pandemic that had such negative economic impacts on so many cities around the country. We were able to pull a lot of savings levers and make our government much more efficient during that process. Some of the things we did were as simple as you know, renegotiating contracts and leases. We saved $750,000 a year just from getting out of a lease of office space that we had for city employees in a building in another part of town while we had open, empty floors in City Hall, moving those employees back in. Our LED streetlight conversion is saving us $5 million a year in energy and maintenance costs. So there are a lot of things that we're doing there. The $38 million transfer is something that happens at the end of every fiscal year where we take funds out of the general fund to just close those gaps, but it replenishes itself in the next year. So you look at what was added to the general fund in the year before, and it was well above that.
And you think we'll be at that level eventually in the general fund at the end of this next year?
Look, I think that we have to be fiscally prudent still. We are still sort of licking our wounds from the economic downturn related to the pandemic, and we want to be as conservative and cautious as possible. But that being said, we are able to fund so many new programs and provide such more dynamic support for our residents and communities because of what we've done here, and we have no worries about any of that.
You know, you mentioned the new wraparound services for those who might be susceptible to committing violence in town, this notion that the police chief Stacey Graves calls focused deterrence. Are we headed in the right direction when it comes to reducing violence on our streets, Brian? As of Friday, we were at 40 homicides so far this year compared to 48 at this point a year ago. A slight reduction, but still lots of concerns about violence on our streets.
Well, one thing I also like about our budget, which is important for this conversation, is that we provide a lot of additional funding for KCPD. We're fully funding a new recruiting class of 150 officers. We've got a $15,000 increase in starting pay for officers, options to be able to provide raises across the board, across all of KCPD officer ranks, and also recruitment and retention bonuses. And that's important because since I've been here, we are down in the 3.5 years I've been here, 200 police officers. That is a big, big reason why we're having some challenges here. We just don't have enough officers on the streets. So once we can fully fund that department and bring it up to the levels that it needs to be, it will help us dramatically. We've got a lot of work to do, though.
You're a busy man. You got a lot going on.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. We have so many fun things going on, and this is such an exciting city to live in, and it's such an exciting time for the city with all the things going on. Think about what's happened in the last year alone. We've opened the first women's sport stadium purpose-built for women's sports team in the world. Our streetcar will likely be done by the end of this year, early next year. Buccaneer Bridge, our airport opened last year, but it's continuously winning new awards. We have, as I said before, another 12 groundbreakings this year for large-scale developments in Kansas City, and so much more. It's just it's amazing what we've been able to accomplish here in a short time.
When does the new streetcar extension, when can we hop
you know,
aboard?
The team is going to be so mad that we're talking about this, but the construction will probably be done at the end of this year, and there will be a testing phase of running test routes to make sure that everything works and the cars are staying on the tracks right and the timings work
right.
And the synchronization. So the construction probably finishes at the end of this year, and there's a testing phase probably in January or February to make sure that everything works right.
That was our host, Steve Kraske, speaking with Kansas City manager Brian Platt. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this podcast was produced by me, Zach Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Star Wars Institute.